So class today is going to be from Bhagavad Gita, from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and I'm going to speak on text 35. What we have on the board here right now is text 34, because I want to put it 34 and 35 in perspective so you see what the relationship to one another is. Okay, so offering prayers. Om Agnyanati Mirandasya Janjana Salakaya Chaksur Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Padati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Sadvadutam, Parijana, Sahitam, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha, Krishna Padam, Sahagana, Lalita, Shri Vashakam, Vitam, Cha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavanishvare, Rishabhanu, Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, with the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, perhaps we can say something that will touch your heart. Especially if we repeat just what Srila Prabhupada says, that will touch your heart. So this verse, text 34 of the fourth chapter, of Bhagavad Gita is called Transcendental Knowledge. And so Krishna starts the fourth chapter explaining his position as you know, how he comes, why he comes, when he comes, etc., etc., you know. And he goes on to explain different processes of dharma and sacrifice and so many things. When we get to text 34, he says something very, very significant. Like, for example, he says, if you want to chant it together, we could chant it together. Tad vidhi pranipatena padi prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. And the translation is, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So there's a few things mentioned in that verse that are very important for all aspiring devotees. It talks about how transcendental knowledge is presented through the scriptures, but we need to approach the spiritual master in order to get that link to the parampara, it's called, the disciplic succession. Krishna explained in the very beginning of this fourth chapter that he spoke Bhagavad Gita millions and millions and millions of years ago to the sun god, Vivaswan. And Arjuna's response to that, a couple of verses later, said, well, how's that possible? Because you and I are the same age. How is it that you spoke to Vivaswan, you know, X amount of millions of years ago? And Krishna said, many, many births both you and I have had. We've had many births. I can remember them all, but you can't. So how is it that Krishna can remember his previous births? Because he doesn't change his body, because he's the Supreme Lord. He takes on different forms, but he doesn't change his body like we change our body. You know, at death, we think death means it's the end. It's not the end, because Krishna has very kindly explained to us that inside the body, there's the soul is eternal, the body is temporary. Basic Hare Krishna 101, you know. So the soul continues on. But for the conditioned soul, common living entities like myself, at the time of death, there's a total forgetfulness of this present body. Right now, I'm totally absorbed in this body and the activities of this body and all the different things that I have to do, etc., etc. But when this body's finished and the soul goes on, the soul doesn't remember, by conditioning nature, doesn't remember all of these activities that I'm doing now. And then whatever body it gets, the next body, due to what? The past, the activities that I did in this body, the next body it gets, it totally identifies with that body. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And there's no, even we say, I'm eternal. But do we remember what you were doing 70 years ago? Because I can tell you're not 70, hopefully. You know, but 70 years ago, what were we doing? We were doing something, and whatever we were doing, we thought, this is who I am. And this is what I have to do, and it's very important, etc., etc. And my whole consciousness is absorbed in that. Moving on, then in this fourth chapter, Krishna is now saying so many duties that people do to become self-realized, etc., etc. And then he says, if you really want to know the truth, then you have to approach the spiritual master. And he mentioned in this verse what's the duty of the aspiring disciple. He mentioned a few things. What's the duty of the aspiring disciple? Can anybody remember some of the things that he said that you should do when you approach the spiritual master? From this side, please. From this side. Jenny?
Render service.
Render service, yeah. I just had to hear it through the muffle. Render service. He said you have to render service. To whom? To the spiritual master. Okay, anything else that he said that you remember that you should do when approaching the spiritual master? Yeah.
Inquire,
ask questions. That's what Arjuna was exemplifying too, because he would ask anytime Krishna told him, now get up and fight. Now are you convinced? Arjuna said, in my words, yeah, but. He wasn't totally convinced. He had a question. What's the difference between sannyas and this? And what's the difference between this and that? He would continue to ask his questions for our benefit, more than anything, so that it would be clear what it was service that had to be rendered. And then how is that knowledge? How is it that by rendering service to the spiritual master and inquiring from him, how is it that transcendental knowledge gets awakened in the heart? Yeah, it's magic. Transcendental magic. Srila Prabhupada, he uses that word, not in this particular verse and not in this particular purport, but there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says, it's very difficult to understand how it is that by rendering service to the spiritual master and inquiring from him, that one gains transcendental knowledge, but it does happen. It's revealed. Just like Lord Brahma, Tene Brahma Hrida Adikavaye. Lord Brahma, the original person, he, after doing austerities and trying to figure out who he was and what he was doing and everything, what he was supposed to do, he was enlightened by the Lord within his heart. Now how is that possible? It's possible because the Lord's there in the heart. It's possible. He's there in the heart of every living entity. And this is what he's going to say in the next verse, which is the verse that we're going to concentrate on. Okay? So, text 35. And here's our verse for today. Yad yad va na punar mohan. You can do this response. Okay. Drakshas yat matyato mahi. Let's do it one more time. Yad yat vana puna mohan evam yas yasi pandava yena bhutyani saishani drakshas yat matyato mahi. So, we have to remember what Krishna just said in 34. He said, if you want to learn the truth, you need to approach the spiritual master. Inquire, render service, and he can reveal that truth to you. Now he's saying, what's the truth? Let's see. Okay, translation. Having obtained real knowledge from the self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So I'm going to read that again so that it sinks in a little deeper. So this is the transcendental knowledge. This is the essence. This is the essence of transcendental knowledge right here. 35th verse, 4th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Having obtained real knowledge from the self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. It's very, very significant. How is it significant? Because if you think of what Arjuna's dilemma was on the Battle of Kurukshetra, right? He was initially refusing to fight because he was thinking, these are my relatives and my friends, and these guys on the opposite side are also my relatives and superiors. And I don't want to be involved in killing my superiors. I want everyone to be happy, you know, that, so it's better if I don't fight. That was the basis of his illusions. Krishna's now saying, it's not that I'm not partial to your side or that side. All of the living entities here on the battlefield, all of them, and all the ones that aren't on the battlefield, all the ones that are here in the temple, all the ones that are here in the United States, only the United States, not everywhere, every living entity, and not just human beings. We're thinking human beings, that's what we immediately think, human beings, right? No, every living entity is a part of Krishna, is in him, and is his. So he's concerned in loving relationship for every living entity. And he's saying, when you understand the truth, you're going to you will come to this level of realization that every living entity is part and parcel of me. Now, if you just think of that, we are going to get to the purport any minute now, but if you just think of that first, how does that affect your life? If we actually can we can sit here and theoretically, you know, discuss philosophy. Yes, every living entity is part in Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore I should treat them all equally. Which lasts for a good 3.5 seconds for me, or whatever, until somebody pokes me, or until somebody says something nasty, and I think, or until I go home and there's a million ants in my house eating something, and I want to wipe them all down the sink. But they're spirit souls too. Fully realizing that every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, it actually can change and should change our whole attitude and our whole activity in life, especially if you come from a bad background, like, you know, myself, you know. You know, it changes everything to realize that, or to try to realize, or to try to act on that platform, that every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. It makes a big difference in relationships. The purport is a little long. I'm just going to read it in sections, okay? So this is what Srila Prabhupada says. The result of receiving knowledge from a self-realized soul, or for one who knows things as they are, is that learning that all living beings are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The sense, now here's the essence of our illusion, okay? That we have a sense of an existence separate from Krishna. And this is called Maya. And Prabhupada defines, Ma means not, and Ya means this. So Maya means our feeling of that I'm separate or independent from Krishna, which we were just talking about, is Maya, illusion, because I'm not separate from Krishna. I'm totally connected with Krishna, but I'm not, but I need to become aware of it. He's aware of it, but I need to become aware of it. Okay. Some think that we have nothing to do with Krishna, that Krishna is only a great historical personality, and that the Absolute is the impersonal Brahman. Factually, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, this impersonal Brahman is the personal effulgence of Krishna. So Brahman realization is understanding that, you know, there's a supreme energetic force behind everything. Sometimes it's described as a great white light. So there, that's valid information, but it's incomplete. It's a step on the path, a step up. It's a way step up to understand that there's a unifying energy behind everything. But it's not complete. Beyond understanding Brahman is Paramatma, to understand that the Lord is within everyone's heart. And beyond that, even higher than that, is to realize that the Supreme Person, the Lord, has a personal identity, form, paraphernalia, existence, beyond all of those states. Okay. In the Brahma Samhita, it is clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Can someone want to shoot out the Sanskrit for that? Brahma Samhita, Krishna is the cause of all causes. Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Thank you. He's the cause of all causes. And this is Lord Brahma, the Supreme Person. That's the conclusion of his 100 years of tapasya, that's his conclusion, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the millions of incarnations are only his different expansions. Similarly, the living entities are also expansions of Krishna. The Mayavadi philosophers wrongly think that Krishna loses his own separate existence in his many expansions. And this thought, Prabhupada explains, is material. And they think like that because they think if you took a paper and you ripped it up into small, tiny pieces, then the paper wouldn't exist. Just the little pieces would exist. So that's the logic that they're following, to think that when Krishna expands into millions of forms and personalities, that he's not the whole, complete Krishna. He's minimized. But... this thought is material in nature. We have experience in the material world that a thing, when fragmentally distributed, loses its own original identity. But the Mayavadi philosophers fail to understand that absolute, here's another definition, absolute means 1 + 1 = 1, and 1 - 1 is also equal to 1. So these girls, they need to study this new mathematics for their math test. See what how they do. When they're doing their math test and they go 1 - 1 = 1, and when the teacher says no, that's wrong, they say, no, that's absolute math. That's the absolute math. That's the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he never diminishes. You'll have a hard time getting 100 on the test, but we know that you're correct. So that is also confirmed in Sri Upanishad. Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam, that Krishna is the supreme whole, and even though so many expansions emanate from him, he remains the complete whole, and etc., etc. Okay, so that's the first, the invocation verse of Sri Upanishad. So Prabhupada says, this is the case in the absolute world. Okay, so now there's another gist of information here. Okay, for want of sufficient knowledge in the absolute science, we are now covered by illusion, and therefore we think that we are separate from Krishna. Although we are separated parts of Krishna, we are nevertheless not different from him. So Krishna has a quality, sat chit ananda. He's eternal, he's full of knowledge, and he's full of bliss in unlimited proportions. We also have that quality deep down inside, when we're not so covered by illusion. When we're covered by illusion, we're thinking, oh, I've got to pay the bills, oh, my health isn't good, or whatever, my relationships aren't good, or my stomach hurts, or whatever, you know? But who we really are is Sat Chit Ananda in a little way, small, a small fragmental part. We're a small part of the Lord, and we have those qualities to a small degree. Krishna has it in an unlimited degree, we have it in a small degree. And what our problem is what we're identifying with. Our problem is our question of identity. We're thinking, this is who I am. I'm an old lady, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm, you know, whatever. Whatever, you know, but that's not who I am. Just like I was saying, 80 years ago, I have to go up higher for me, 80 years ago, that's not who I was, but I existed. And in 30 years, this is not who I'm going to be, for sure. I'm not going to be around for 30 more years, you know? That's not who I am. But I'll be existing because I'm a spirit soul. And it's the spirit soul that is the batteries. It's the batteries for the body. We're thinking the body is itself its battery, the heart is the batteries. But it's the soul that's the batteries. And that same soul placed in that same battery of a soul, using the concept of it being the energizing force, placed in the body of an ant, or in an elephant, or in, you know, a tree, or in another human being, that's the same Sat Chit Ananda particle that's present in all living entities. So this is, Krishna will say at the end of the fifth chapter, this is the real peace formula, to understand that we're related spiritually. You know, that Krishna is the supreme proprietor, he's the lord of all the planets and all the living entities, and we're his servants. When we understand that, then we can have peace. We can't have peace thinking, I'm American and you're from another place, therefore I like you or I don't like you, you know, depending on which way the political wind is blowing at that particular time. Or we can't just try to artificially get together and say, okay, we're all brothers and sisters, let's love one another. You know, it's all blowing in the wind. Oh, sorry, that dates me a little bit. But, you know, because we have too many diverse motivations. But when our understanding and our motivation is to serve Krishna, then we can have a unified and simultaneously diverse attempt to serve the Lord. So I'll go on with the purport. The bodily... Although we are separate parts of Krishna, we nevertheless are not different from him. The bodily difference of the living entity is maya, or not an actual fact. We are all meant to satisfy Krishna. By maya alone, Arjuna thought that the temporary bodily relationship with his kinsman was more important than his eternal spiritual relation with Krishna. Okay, now listen to this. The whole teaching of the Gita is targeted towards this end. Okay, listen up. That a living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from Krishna. And his sense of being an identity apart from Krishna is called maya, illusion. It's not. We're an illusion. If we think that we're separate from Krishna, that's illusion. That's also explained in Sri Upanishad. If we're feeling incomplete, if we're feeling somehow or other that we're incomplete, that's because we're not connected with the complete whole Krishna. And that sense of incompleteness comes from a lack of understanding that we are actually completely connected to the Lord. It's kind of like a circular argument, but if we're hearing properly from the scriptures, we'll see that we have that eternal relationship with the Lord forever. And Krishna's not looking at us and saying, oh, this one chanted japa today, and this one didn't chant japa today, so I like this one and I don't like that one. He doesn't think like that. He's thinking, these are my parts and parcel. These are all my sons and daughters, and they're all part and parcel of me. And therefore, I want to arrange things in such a way that everybody comes back to me. Now, he does that in different ways. Well, that's a whole other class, but anyway. But still, there's a connection of love between every living entity from his part. And from our part, we have that endeavor. We have to make the endeavor to see in that transcendental position, or else we'll only see differences of body, differences of opinions, differences of likes and dislikes. We'll just see the differences. But Krishna sees the unity. Okay, that bothered me now. The whole teaching of the Gita is targeted toward this end, that a living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from Krishna. And his sense of being an identity apart from Krishna is called maya. The living entities, as separate parts and parcels of Krishna, have a purpose to fulfill. That's also a very important statement. The living entities, as separate parts and parcels of the Lord, have a purpose to fulfill. So we have a purpose to fulfill in the sense of we have a relationship of servitor towards Krishna. The more that we forget that, turn ourselves away from that, forget that, and don't act on that, there's, in my words, there's like a hole in our relationship with Krishna. And Krishna's waiting for us to turn towards him and act on our relationship of servitude towards him. That's the purpose that we have to fulfill. Having forgotten that purpose for a few years, nope, it doesn't say that. Says, having forgotten that purpose since time immemorial. It's a long time. They are situated in different bodies as men, animals, demigods, etc. Such bodily differences arise from forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. But when one is engaged in transcendental service through Krishna consciousness, one becomes at once liberated from this illusion. One can acquire such pure knowledge only from the bona fide spiritual master, and thereby avoid the delusion, the total, it's more than illusion, it's delusion, that the living entity is equal to Krishna. That's totally delusion. Perfect knowledge is that the Supreme Soul, Krishna, is the supreme shelter for all living entities. And giving up such shelter, the living entities are deluded by the material energy, imagining themselves to have a separate identity. So that's, in one sense, that's the simple gist of our problem. We imagine we're separate from Krishna. We imagine we have an identity and something to do apart from Krishna. And we just need to what? Remember. But how do we do that? I'll finish the purport and then we'll, just a couple more sentences. Okay, I imagine. Thus, under different standards of material identity, they become forgetful of Krishna. When, however, such deluded living entities become situated in Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that they are on the path of liberation, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 10th chapter, 6th verse. Muktir hit panyata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Liberation means to be situated in one's constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna, which is Krishna consciousness. So that ends the purport. And it's a very essential understanding. And we're having a Bhagavad Gita study course, and we're right on this fourth chapter, and it just struck me. the sequence of information here. By approaching the spiritual master and inquiring submissively, one can understand the absolute truth. And when one understands the absolute truth, Krishna says right there in the next verse, that you understand that every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and is part of Him and is His. And that totally changes our relationship to the world. What to speak of to all the other living entities. It totally changes. And acting on that definitely takes an endeavor. Because why? Because Prabhupada said, we've had this illusion since time immemorial. The living entities, the conditioned living entities, they're called nitya, buddha. Nitya means eternal, buddha means conditioned. They're conditioned in the material world so long that it's very, Prabhupada says, it's very difficult to trace out when it started. It started so long ago in so many different forms of life. We've passed through so many different forms of life, and each time, we're totally convinced that whatever form it is, whether it's an ant or a dog or an elephant or a demigod or a king or whomever, that's who I am. So repeatedly having a conception like that, it doesn't just wash off with one time hearing these information. It definitely makes a difference, but that washing procedure has to continue on. We need to repeatedly hear. We need to position ourselves so that we can hear and act on that information. And Srila Prabhupada gives us many, many recommendations on what to do and how to arrange our life so that it's easier. It's easier to remember that we're part and parcel of Krishna. So, how about some reflections or questions or comments or feedback at this particular point, and we can go from here. Anything that struck you or anything that causes a doubt or anything that you want to repeat, Vegavati Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. You know, just the point that you were making now, that the one verse follows the other, that once situated in knowledge, we should then be able to see that every living entity and everything is Krishna's. And I was thinking how, having heard that, even without a lot of realization, but at least theoretically understanding it, then we're trained, try to engage everybody and everything in Krishna's service. And that's what, you know, Srila Prabhupada did so magnificently. And he taught us in simple, like, you know, oh, this microphone, you could say it's a material thing, but now that we're using it to glorify Krishna, it's become spiritual. Or I was thinking how one time he was speaking about Krishna to a woman who was pregnant, and she asked him, does the child in my womb benefit from hearing you speak? And he said, what to speak of the child in your womb? Even the cockroaches in the walls are benefiting. So it's I was just reflecting like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, any other comments or questions or discussions? Jenny?
In the very first part, it says to inquire from the spiritual master. Some of us are not, you know, around spiritual masters or don't have those opportunities. So in that same way, if you even just approach like a more advanced or senior devotee, do those same realizations come?
Yes. They'll come because there's different levels of spiritual masters. There's a spiritual master that a person takes initiation from and makes his sacred vows and everything. But there's different levels of spiritual masters. So that spiritual master is called Diksha. You take initiation. But there's Shiksha. Shiksha means instructing. Someone who give instructions based on the scriptures. So they'll be there. And the Shiksha and the Diksha instructions should be unified. There might be something specific that you get from your initiating spiritual master, a specific service, etc., etc. But the philosophical content is and should be the same. So yes, you get benefit from that. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay, hold on. We'll get the microphone, and then everyone can hear. And thank you. You're more than welcome to ask your question.
Kids generally don't like to sit in long satsangs, so do they still benefit if they are there?
Yes, they do. They definitely benefit. Just like the example that she gave, that my friend Vega Vati just gave, about the lady who was sitting there asking about the child within the womb, does he benefit? Because how can he, does he really understand these words? He's just, a small little embryo, And Prabhupada says, yes, they benefit, and even the cockroaches that are crawling around in the wall, they benefit. So even the children, and not just children, sometimes have a hard time sitting and listening to philosophy, not just children. You'll see that if you notice that the temple was quite full when the kirtan was going on, and then got less full for different reasons, time-wise and so many things, but also because philosophy is a little harder to digest, but it's important. And you'll be surprised. We've had the experience many times when the children are in the class. It might be, they might be, say, drawing to be quiet or something, depending on their age level. And then they'll say something at the end of class, or question something, or repeat something to their mother at the end of class. And you thought they weren't listening or comprehending, and they did. They were able to comprehend somewhat. But they're definitely benefit. Transcendental sound, and that's what transcendental means. Transcendental sound vibration means that it's not dependent on material circumstances. Material sound vibration, like computers. That's like details of computers. I mean, I can do semi-stuff. Anyway, you could tell me until you're blue in the face, programming, and it would just not go in. But even if I'm there in the room while someone is chanting the holy name, I'm getting benefited from hearing that transcendental sound vibration because it's beyond the limits of material sound vibration. So it's also recommended that children, they like to hear stories. So go for it. Maybe you could read every night from Krishna book for half an hour or 15 minutes. And then in the morning when they wake up, they'll say, remember Jarasandha did this or that, or they'll remember the details oftentimes better than we do because their minds are sharp and everything. So they definitely benefit.
You can get the Krishna book from the front as the
Yes, Prabhu, Jvara.
Can Jesus be a Shiksha Guru?
Can Jesus be a Shiksha Guru? I just heard a lecture today, and Srila Prabhupada said, Jesus Christ and Muhammad have done a tremendous benefit for people in general by instructing them on spiritual matters. So yes, it's possible. It's definitely possible. And I was in Mexico in 1974 or 5, sorry, I can't remember exactly. And Srila Prabhupada spoke on Jesus Christ. He was speaking to two priests that were speaking with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you can give us your churches and we'll speak from the Bible. about Krishna consciousness, because we accept Jesus Christ as our guru. And then after that statement, a little bit, somebody asked, should we put a picture of Jesus Christ on our altar? And Prabhupada said, I have not said that. But anyway, the information is there.
Hare Bol.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I was looking.
Hare Krishna. So one time in London, I don't remember the date, but Mukunda Maharaj, before he was a Maharaj, he asked about, the Prabhupada said everything can be used in Krishna's service. So he was saying that, you know, the microphone is being used in Krishna's service. And then he said that everybody who worked in the factory that made the microphone gets some benefit.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
The other thing is that, you know, many times the Shiksha Guru can be a lot more advanced than the Diksha Guru. Because Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they didn't even have any disciples.
Yeah.
They were too busy writing books, you know, so
yes.
Some of the other Goswamis did the initiating.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. That's very interesting about the microphone. Prabhupada said that even the people in the factory that manufactured the microphone, even they get benefit. And that's the amazing thing about the Lord. You know, sometimes our conception of the Lord, even though we've heard so much of His benevolence and His love for the living entity, we've heard it many times in many shapes and many forms. Somehow or other, we're under illusion. We sometimes think, but that's for others. But the Lord doesn't really feel the same way about me. But here's what to do when those thoughts come in. When thoughts like that come in, you should try to do your best to see the Lord's hand in your life. The Lord's kindly arranging so many things in our life. He might even arrange something as drastic as a car accident. Okay? Sorry. He might even arrange something like that so that we can take the time to think, what am I doing? How am I utilizing my life? And that might turn, you know, make a few changes in our life and so many things. And while it's happening, or right after it's happened, or while you're going through the recovery process, let's just say, or even if you're not injured drastically, you still have to get a new car, et cetera, and pay the price, et cetera, and you're thinking, nah, 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 nah. But if you look back and see, oh, because that happened, then I did this, and then I chanted my rounds more seriously, or then I started to read, you know, and therefore I benefited from that. So if you look to see the Lord's hand in your life, then you'll see it. And if you forget to look, and if you think that everything's happening by chance or by circumstance, then you'll miss that opportunity to see how the Lord is caring for each one of us all the time, insignificant as we are. We're insignificantly significant to the Lord. Insignificantly significant to Him. And he's rooting for us. He's rooting for us to, you know, take those steps forward to engage in His service. Just like in the classic example that can be given is, there's a book called Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and Brihat Bhagavatamrita chronicles a devotee's traversing many planets to ultimately go back to Godhead. And he goes here, and he goes there, and he goes to Indraloka, and he goes to Swargaloka, and he goes to all of these places. He goes to a million places, and you think, come on, Gopal, just go back to Godhead. Anyway, when he finally gets to Lord Narayan, Lord Narayan says, I'm so happy to see you. I've been waiting for you. I keep looking. When will Gopa Kumar come back? And I've been making arrangements. He said, usually I stay out of people's life, and they, by their choice of activities, they get certain reactions. Usually I stay out, but I couldn't wait any longer, and I made this arrangement that you'd be born here and you'd have this spiritual master, etc., etc. I'm just waiting for you to come back to me. So that's how merciful Krishna is. He's waiting for us to come back to Him.
I have a question.
Yes, Prabhu.
Why, what made you to choose this verse?
Because I'm, today's the last day of our study of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In the class which starts at 7 o'clock, so I have to run for that. And as going through the verses, I'll admit that I never noticed the connection between 34 and 35. So I wanted to share it. But even that was a month ago, because, you know, that's when you find out what your verse is.
Because I was teaching Bhakti Shastri, and I was studying thoroughly, and then this verse 35, there's a two bullet point I still remember.
Okay.
One was the Jadgyatana Punarmaha, that you can be literally liberated.
Put your mic closer to your mouth. Please.
When you meet a person who is Gyani and Tattvadarshi, see the truth, or seeing the truth, and they have a complete knowledge, in a sense, with Krishna. By serving him, then that knowledge that it will impart in your heart, you will be liberated. The first line. And then third line, it says, Atmani Mai Atma Moi. This is the first verse in Bhagavad Gita up to this chapter that the Krishna says, soul belongs to me.
He hasn't revealed that yet, up until this point. Correct.
Yeah, and also I love the way Prabhupada put it. I think Prabhupada was probably there when Krishna spoke. Because he put that verse you just read, Muktirhitta Annatarupam Sorupena. Sorupena means one has to act on the constitutional position in order to be liberated. That verse Prabhupada put it is so wonderful. It makes the whole two sloka complete to me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's
Thank
very
you.
Nice.
So that acting on the liberated platform, it might not be that we're fully realized just yet. Just now coming. For full realization. But acting on the platform of spirit soul and accepting the instructions of the spiritual master, etc., etc., means that we're acting on that platform, and therefore, and then what to speak of the next verse? I was going to go into the next verse too, because the next verse says, if you're situated like that, here, this is 36, even if you're considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you're situated on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. So when we read these things, we should bring them into our heart and see how they're so encouraging. They're so encouraging. Even situated on the boat of transcendental knowledge without being fully realized. So who is that? For sure. You know? But we're attempting. Even if there's an attempt, we're making the attempt, and even if there's failures, you know, fall downs, it's not that, it's hopeless. It's never hopeless. There's always so much hope, and Krishna always loves his parts and parcels. He doesn't, just like somebody was saying, some communication I had with somebody was saying, oh, I feel so bad because I failed at this particular thing. And I said, but Krishna doesn't look at that. When he was a little baby and Putana came with poison on her breast to kill him, he didn't look like, oh, here's this mean old Putana who's killing millions of babies, or at least hundreds, right? Therefore, let me, you know, burn her up or whatever. He says, no, look at, she's coming to me like a mother. And therefore, he looks at that, the good. He looks at the good and then rewards the good and encourages her and elevates her to position of a nurse, of a mother, even though she came to kill him. So who could be, as Uddhava says, who could be a more merciful Lord than our Lord Sri Krishna, who gave liberation to Putana, who came to kill him. So when the mind, if you have a mind like mine, when the mind wants to say something discouraging, oh, you'll never make it, you'll never be able to do it, you might as well give up, or this or that, then you just say, shut up. And you open the book. Yes, dear. What would you like to say?
So,
hold on.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Coming.
So my question is about devotional relationships. These relationships, especially those that we make connection and develop in service to Guru and Krishna, they're so special. And you've spoken these things about how we're temporarily identifying in this body. We don't remember who we were or know who we will be. My question is, will we recognize one another when we go home?
Yes. You'll recognize there'll be a bond of service. Srila Prabhupada, that question has been asked before. It's a nice question. Thank you for asking it. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, there'll be ISKCON in the spiritual world. So you might think, ee! Or you might think, yay! I'll let you guys figure that one out. So, but there'll be, you know, just like actually, you've probably had this experience already. When you meet people, sometimes there's immediate bond of friendship. And you hardly even have time to do any service with them, but there's an immediate bond. That's probably a connection from a past life of service. Probably. That's my speculation.
I have a question.
Okay, the last question.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, the 34 verse has a Ganina and Tattvadarshi. So Prabhupada is both. And we are distributing Bhagavad Gita in practical relevant to our life. So when somebody receives the Bhagavad Gita, and that guru, Prabhupada, his Ganina and Tattvadarshi is giving, but those people, we are not training them to be Tattvadarshi, Pariprasnana, Sevaya, that submissive, inquisitive, with a submissive mood and service attitude. They're just taking the book. What benefit or what will be the... Some idea I just want to hear.
The benefit is that book, that transcendental vibration that's there in the book from the person who's all-knowing, who knows things as they are, Jnanina and Tattvadarshina, sees things as they are, that will act on the soul. It doesn't necessarily... it's not that you see a difference in the act on the body. That may be, but it acts on the soul, the platform of the soul, and it awakens one to transcendental knowledge. And we've all seen it and had that experience. And even sometimes the book is there and the person doesn't read it. And there's so many stories. You've also read some of them after, you know, for the announcements. The person who had the book on the shelf for 5 years and then it was moving and then gives the book away to somebody else and that person becomes a devotee. So Prabhupada says there's so much benefit, just like Adikarta Prabhu was saying about the people in the factory benefit by making that microphone that got used in Krishna's service. The people in the house that have that Bhagavad Gita in the house, even though they don't necessarily read it, they're benefited. That spiritual sound vibration is potent. It's potent, and they'll be benefited like that. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I just curious that I thought maybe the proportion to Parinipatena, Pariprasnana, you know, the submissively inquisitive and service attitude, maybe proportion to my submission, it will reveal in my heart. But you made a point, but Prabhupada already probably has that without seeing the qualification, he just wants to give them.
Yeah.
So that's probably acting itself.
Yeah.
Whether they are submissive.
One of Srila Prabhupada's main mission was, and one of his strongest pushes was to get millions and millions of books out there because they're potent and they'll be benefited and utilized at a certain point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Transcendental. Thanks.
That's good. Thank
so
you.
Thank you very kindly for your attention.
Any other question, comments, reflection?
Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
You got a nice comment. It says, thank you for this incredible class, every word. All is in divine order. Everything will go.
Oh, it's under.